Jerry Bader Show, 10:06. In case you haven't heard, there's a football game tonight. Green Bay Packers back in action, as they did in 2011, but under very different circumstances, are in the NFL's kickoff game. This time it's the Seahawks party. Back in 2011, of course, was the Packers party, and they edged the Saints. I was at that game. To talk about that and some of the big cultural issues that the NFL found itself in the middle of this past offseason, as we are to start off every NFL season, we are joined this time via phone from Seattle with Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. Mark, good to talk with you again.
Well, thanks, Jerry. It's great to. It's a great annual tradition. I look forward to it.
As do we. Okay, so let's. I got to start here. I mean, I was at the game in 2011, and the NFL does this kickoff thing upright. They've got concerts. It's fantastic fun, and the atmosphere was electric in Lambeau Field that night. Can Seattle fans get more amped up than they usually do? Because that thought scares the hell out of me.
Well, you know, they pride themselves on the 12th man and the loudest stadium in the league, and I'm anxious to see what it'll be like tonight. But you're right, the league really, and I think each year they add a little bit more, and they really make it quite a spectacle. It's really just short of the Super Bowl, you know. It's great, and I hope we get to host more of them.
Well, yeah,
I'm sure.
I'll
play after the experience of tonight, but I think I like playing in them, but I'd much rather have them at Lambeau Field.
And no question about it, you would definitely want to be the host in this event. But it's still, though, and I'll get to some non-on-the-field things here in a minute. It's got to be, I think, there can't be a bigger opportunity, is there, than to have the first crack at the champs?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. You know, I think that our players are really excited. I think, well, number one, it's, you know, everybody's watching. So it's a great exposure. And, you know, although the Super Bowl champions have fared well in these games, there's a lot of pressure on them. And there's also a lot of distractions and, you know, how well teams handle that. And I think, you know, our team kind of relishes being the underdogs, and nobody's even expecting us to win. And so I think they view it as a great opportunity.
All right, I'll ask you what everyone has asked Mike McCarthy, but I have to ask it, and I agree with the coach on this one. The Fail Mary game of a couple of years ago, I think, is in the distant rearview mirror. This is about knocking off the champs and the Packers showing that they're back in that upper echelon.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, it's in the NFL 2 years ago is I mean, that's a career for most players. I mean, it's, and all the kind of the center figures in that, central figures in it, Golden Tate and MD Jennings are no longer with their team. So it's, you know, the media will make a big deal out of it, but I think for our players, you know, I mean, probably a majority of our players weren't even on the team in that game.
Yeah, it's really, you know, as Mike always says, last year is a completely different year. Heck, I mean, 2 years ago, as you said, these two teams are in very different places. All right, I want to get to the NFL in the offseason has been looked to as something as a standard bearer on several key cultural issues, and I want to go through this. Gay acceptance, domestic violence, and racial sensitivity, the Redskins' name, of course. Let's start with that last one first. You, of course, were a Washington Redskin, and now a number of sportscasters say they won't say the name during broadcasts. In the 30 years, and it's been about 30 years, Mark, since you last played for the Redskins.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, I know. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
No, I'm well aware of that.
I thought you might be. Has society changed where that name is no longer acceptable, or do you support Daniel Snyder in keeping the name?
Well, first of all, I say this is a really difficult issue for the league. And, yeah, you know, I mean, it's like anything else. Society changes. Society's morals and mores change over time. And, you know, this is, for us, you know, it's a big issue because for the Oneida Nation has really kind of taken the lead in saying, you know, let's really look at this. It's offensive to a number of Native Americans, and I think it's really a difficult issue, and I don't see it going away. But, and you know, Dan Snyder has been pretty resolute that you know, he's not going to change it. So we're kind of at a stalemate. But you know, hopefully at some point you can find a resolution.
As someone who has worn the uniform of that team, though, do you have any personal feelings at all one way or the other?
It's like I said, I think times change. You know, when I played over 30 years ago, you know, it wasn't really discussed. But obviously over time, it's times have changed. And, you know, obviously, you know, if it's offensive to even a small percentage of Native Americans, I think it's something we have to look at.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Commissioner Goodell has said the league erred in a lax punishment for domestic violent offenses, specifically, of course, Ray Rice, and has announced stiffer penalties. Critics have argued that the league's punishment has just been wildly inconsistent, depending on the offense. Recreational use of marijuana draws a very strict penalty. Do you think, okay, now Goodell has revisited domestic violence, but does the league need to revisit the entire penalty structure and make it more consistent?
Well, you know, I think we do, but I think this is also something that is negotiated with the Players Association. And, you know, we have been in discussions and negotiations with the Players Association really since the end of the collective bargaining process in 2011. And, you know, we're hopeful that we'll be able to reach an agreement sometime soon on a more comprehensive drug testing program that would also include, you know, penalties for, you know, a variety of different offenses. You know, and obviously, you know, Roger recently came out publicly with some very, very, very much changed the domestic violence policy, much stiffer penalties. And, you know, I think he was pretty open on, he never mentioned Ray Rice, but he said, you know, he got it wrong in a recent case. And So I think, you know, he wanted to send a message to everybody. But, you know, Jay, every case is, you know, has its own situation. Everything's a little bit different. So you always have to give yourself a little flexibility to look at different circumstances in each case.
Talking with Mark Murphy, of course, one of the other big stories in the offseason, Michael Sam. He did not make the cut with the Rams, but his supporters are saying he's already shown that a gay player can be accepted in an NFL locker room. Was that really in doubt, even in your mind, even before Michael Sam?
No, I don't think so, Jerry. I think, you know, I think now we know afterwards, but there's been a number of gay players in the NFL over the years. You know, we didn't know about it. You know, they weren't open about it. But, society's more changed, and I think, you know, maybe 10 years ago, somebody wouldn't have been accepted. But I think, you know, talking to Jeff Fisher and, you know, seeing some of the comments from, you know, players on the Rams, I think he was accepted just like any other player. And, and we kind of saw it. You know, we played them in the second week of the preseason, and, I thought he played well and had a real chance to make the team. I was kind of hoping that he would make it, but, you know, he's on the practice squad with the Cowboys now. And, you know, that's, you know, undrafted free agents and, you know, late round draft picks, you know, that's the way they make it in the league. Keep working at it, and you start maybe as a practice squad player and work your way up and develop your skills. He's obviously a very talented player. You know, he the defensive player of the year in the SEC has to be pretty talented. But I think the issue with him is he's kind of he's a little bit in between. You know, whether he's athletic enough to be a linebacker or big enough to be a lineman.
Talking with Mark Murphy, of course, the big offseason news for your team, the Packers now have plans in place to retire Brett Favre's number. You've made no secret that was a long work in progress to make that happen. Was there one final piece that came into place that made it happen, or how did that play out?
Well, that's a good question. I think, you know, just time. You know, we said it, I think, probably 2 or 3 years. The last 2 or 3 years, I said, when we talked about it, just that time will heal wounds. And I think as time has gone on, that has happened. We feel, you know, but we've had, I've been in touch with Brett, you know, for a number of years, and, you know, so we're excited about it. I would say, you know, the other thing that really helped is, Bob Harlan's involvement with the, he's now on the executive committee of the Hall of Fame, Inc., which is a separate organization from the Packers. And, really coming up with the idea and the plan to tie the retirement of his number in with the induction into the Packers Hall of Fame. That was kind of a key moment, I would say.
All right, final question, and this one is just for fun to put you on the spot. Because there's talk.
I felt like I was on the spot a little bit before, but
true. That's true, as a matter of fact. But this one is purely for entertainment, and I think you'll be okay with it. There's talk of Bart Starr being involved in that effort. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Greatest Packers quarterback ever: Brett, Bart, or Aaron?
Well, I think with Aaron, I think we have to wait.
All right, incomplete. I can
hopefully
buy that.
He's about halfway through his career, and I think he's going to do more. This is like asking this, which one of my kids is my favorite.
Come on now.
No, I'm gonna punt on this one.
All right, let me try. I'm gonna try one more time. All right, you're in the NFC Championship game, and you're 80 yards. You get the ball with 2 minutes left, 80 yards away, and you can have 1966 Bart Starr or 1996 Brett Favre. Which one would you want?
Well, you know what I would do, Jerry? I would use the old two quarterback system and really throw the team off.
All right. He's not going to answer the question. Hey, Mark,
what's the temperature? Is it below zero?
You need to have all those factors. Mark, listen, thanks a lot for joining us. It's always a blast. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah. I knew he wouldn't answer that. Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. I go, you know me, I go with the five championships. You have to go with the five championships. I did see a list, though, where Favre's starting streak is listed as the number five record likely never to be broken. There's no way it's not number one. There's no way. They put Emmitt Smith's rushing yardage record at number one. I mean, it just is. Those Iron Man records are. Well, look at Manning, Peyton Manning before his neck injury, seemed like he was close. He was still six seasons away, and that felt close for a quarterback. As the game gets bigger, rougher, faster. Yeah. All right, I'll get to something else in 5 minutes. Don't forget, after 10:30, those of you that missed it, we will have the interview from earlier today with Governor Scott Walker, where he addressed the ridiculous comments made about him by Debbie Wasserman Schultz. 10:19.
The Jerry Bader Show.